Ms. Koenig?
But don't, you know, you, we are going to get the $250. I'm pretty sure we saw. Took it out of some of the. I hope I noticed it. That's me.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Deborah Koenig, and I represent the appellant taxpayers in this case. The issue before the Court today is a technical one, but it affects roughly 30% of the banks in the country. The issue is whether the interest disallowance provision of Section 291 of the Internal Revenue Code applies to banks that are subject to the S-corporation rules in the Code. The answer is contained in the plain language of Section 1363b4 of the Code, namely that while Section 291 applies for 3 years after electing S status, but only if the corporation has a C history, it does not apply thereafter.
I thought the plain language of that statute doesn't refer to Q subs.
That's correct, Your Honor, but I would like to point out that, first of all, there are only two types of corporations generally under the Code. There are C corporations and S corporations. In 1996, when the Code was amended to add the concept of Q subs, not one reference in the Code to S corporations was amended to add a reference to Q subs. And the reason for that is that Q-subs in general are treated as disregarded entities, and there was no need to do that. If the Internal Revenue Service is correct in its argument, basically that would mean that Q-subs are never subject to the rules in the S subchapter S of the Code because Q-subs are never referenced there. That argument really doesn't hold any water. It would result in S corporations only being subject, rather Q-subs, only being subject to C corporation rules, which is not the law.
Only if they're banks, though, right?
Okay.
Because this has to do with...
Well, in this case, we're dealing with banks. But even the regulation that is the subject of this case, which deals specifically with banks and treats them as regarded entities, says that whether or not you're an S corporation or a Q-sub bank, the same rules are applied. And therefore, the fact that Q-subs are not referenced in 1363b4 is really irrelevant here. Furthermore.
So in your view, what are the what banking rules are the Q-subs subject to?
Okay. That really gets to the question of what is a special banking rule. And I would say that you have to look at the Code and see what rules there are that references banks and financial institutions. And 291 certainly does reference banks and financial institutions. However, you can't take the rules out of context. And it's very clear that when Congress allowed banks to become S corporations and Q subs, they thought about the banking rules in general. And they specifically said, for example, that Section 585, which applies the reserve method of accounting to small banks, would not be available to S corporations and Q-subs. So Congress knew how to carve out rules that otherwise referred to banks and S corporations and not apply them in this case. Similarly, if they had wanted to apply 291 to Q-subs and S corporations in this case, they would have amended 1363b4, which they did not do. Basically, we find that we feel that there are four reasons that the taxpayer should prevail in this.
So, if 290, so is the government's position that 291 applies to all Q subs?
The government's position seems to be that if you are a Q sub bank, it doesn't apply to you. However, it applies to every other Q sub. Plus, every other provision under the subchapter S of the Code also applies to Q-subs, even though Q-subs aren't mentioned. So what they're really doing is tailoring their argument to the result they want to reach here, but they're not being intellectually consistent.
Wait, I don't understand, but 291 has a lot in it besides banks, right?
Right, it does. It has...
So isn't there a theory that all of 291 that all of 291 would apply to all Q subs that are financial institutions? Is that their theory, or what?
I think their theory is that 291, it's really broader than that. What they say in their brief is 291 should apply to S corporations, it should apply to Q subs, it should apply regardless of or not you have a C corporation history. In fact, if you take the government's argument to its logical conclusion, if you say that because Q-subs aren't mentioned in 1363b4, therefore 291 applies, I mean, that's really turning the whole statute on its head. 291 only applies to C-corporations, and that is very clear. The only reason we're talking about it today is there's this section, 1363b4, that extends a C-corporation provision for a limited period of time,
three years. Yeah. Now,
however,
isn't there stuff in 291 that isn't connected, that isn't special to financial institutions?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
So the government's theory, all of those provisions would apply to Q-subs? But would that mean that Q-subs would be regulated both as C-corporations and S-corporations?
Well, basically, that's the argument, Your Honor, and that's an impossibility under the code.
It's possible.
Because there's a chasm, really, between C-corporations and S-corporations. The default is, if you don't make an election or you don't otherwise qualify as an S-corporation, you're a C-corporation. However, if you qualify and make the election, you're an S-corporation. And there are totally different rules that apply. Occasionally, there are bridges where, for limited periods of time, C-corporation rules apply. Section 1363b4 is one of those, and 1374 is another. However, they're limited as to time, and you have to have a C-corporation history. Here, the government is really saying, we're going to ignore Section 1363b4 of the code. But if they do that, then 291 never applies because it's a C corporation provision.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the reasons that I think we should prevail in the case, as I've discussed, Section 291 only applies to C corporations. And if the government says that after the three-year period in 1363b4, that it applies to S corporations, they have no evidence in the legislative history or the statute to support that position. Second of all, Congress clearly thought about how the bank rule should apply to S corporations and Q subs when they enacted the rules that allowed banks to become S corporations. And we can see that because they said that Section 585, which clearly references banks and financial institutions and says that small banks can use the reserve method of accounting, would not apply to S corporations. Similarly, Section 1363b4 is the same kind of rule. Because 291 doesn't apply to S corporations, and it only applies for 3 years. If you accept the government's contention that because it does not mention Q-subs, 1363b4 does not apply, then you would come to the conclusion that, therefore, even as soon as you elect Q-sub or S-corporation status, you are not subject to 291, even for that three-year period. And that goes against the anti-abuse.
Are all banks owned by S corporations, small banks, or?
I would say, well, first of all, you can have the bank be the S corporation as opposed to the Q sub. I would say, in general, that they are all community banks, which means, practically speaking, that they're not public, that they have, you know, a small shareholder base. They don't have any corporations or partnerships as shareholders. They meet all the requirements of the S-corporation law. And in general, if you look at the stipulations in this case, you'll see that the bank at issue in this case did use the reserve method of accounting, but had to stop once it elected S status. So it shows that Congress was really thinking about how the rule should apply, and by not amending Section 1363b-4 to extend the application of 291 beyond 3 years or to companies that didn't have C corporation histories, I think that shows that Congress, you know, considered the issue and decided that, excuse me, that 291 shouldn't apply. I see that I'm in my rebuttal time.
Okay, you can reserve that. That's fine. Ms. Milton?
Your Honors, my name is Terry Milton, and I'm representing the commissioner in this case. I think it's easy to get bogged down in the debate between, or the discussion of the differences between S corporations, C corporations, and Q subs, and I'm not suggesting that those differences are insignificant, because they are significant. But to some extent, it obscures the fact that what we're dealing with here is a specialized industry, which is the banking industry, and we're dealing with a special banking rule.
You want to apply all of 291 to these S, to these Q subs.
I'm sorry?
You want to apply all of 291 to these Q subs.
Your Honor, I'm not sure that's true. I'm not aware of any.
I'm sure it's true. That's the whole logic of your argument. You say, you know, Q subs aren't mentioned in the code, so 291 applies to them.
We did make that argument, but the statute at issue here is 291A3, which is a special banking rule. There are some other corporate preference items in 291 that don't have anything to do with the banking business, and I'm not sure what the argument would be in those situations. What we're talking about here is a provision that Congress enacted in 1982 to get at a problem that had existed for years, which was that, unlike most taxpayers, banks had been able to deduct interest that they incurred to carry tax-exempt investments. Most taxpayers can't do that, but with banks, they had been able to do it because there was no way to show the connection between the interest expense and the investment. So Congress passed this law, 291A3, and it is only that part that we're talking about here, that was to address that problem, and it limited the deduction for banks in this one situation. Then in 1984, and at that time it applied to all banks because all banks were C corporations, so every bank was subject to the limitation. In 1984, 1363b-4 was passed, and it said that 291, the entirety of it, would apply to an S corporation if it had 3 years of C corporation history.
But that seems really to leave out the bank in this case.
Well, back to the part about the fact that this bank
seems so. It seems so straightforward.
If we wanted to be totally straightforward,
this is an S corporation that was never a C corporation, so it's not within the scope of this subsection 4.
This bank is a Q sub.
That's where I stop. What am I missing?
This bank is a Q sub that was a C corporation previously.
Not within the preceding 3 years.
No, that's correct. I thought Your Honors was saying it didn't have a C corporation history.
I thought
history.
It wasn't, but no. Okay, so it's not within that. I don't know how you get beyond that.
We get beyond that by saying that Section 1363b-4 had no impact on 291a-3. Because when it was enacted, it was addressing corporations that elected sub.
Strange, because it says flatly, Section 291 shall apply if. But the if isn't satisfied here, so that the implication is that it doesn't apply. I'm kind of stalled on that.
Well, our initial argument, of course, is that that we're talking here about a Q sub and not an S corporation, and
it says nothing about that. That leads to the ridiculous conclusion that Section 291, which has everything in it, not just financial stuff, would apply to the Q sub of a subchapter S corporation, so that it'd be subject both to subchapter S and to and to 291. How would that work?
One problem with this, as I said originally, we get into this dichotomy between C and S corporations. 291, one has to assume the taxpayer's argument that it is only a C corporation statute. It's not in subchapter C, and what 291A3 is a banking statute.
But there's a lot of stuff in 291, and your proposition is that 291 in its entirety applies to Q subs because they're not subchapter S corporations. They're not mentioned. So that's what you're saying. 291 is fully applicable to Q subs, even though they're part of an S corporation.
Your Honor,
entangle what part of 291 applies, what part of subchapter S applies.
Even if we weren't making the argument about the distinction between a Q sub, which is not mentioned in 1363b4, and an S corporation.
You did make that argument.
We said
disturbing.
Even if 1363b4 does apply.
What's your narrowest argument?
That Section 291A3 is a special banking rule. There's nothing in 1363b4 that says it can't apply here.
But it says 291 only applies to an S corporation if it converted within the last 3 years.
That's why you have to say that a
Q sub is not an S corporation. But, of course, it's part of an S corporation.
It doesn't say only. It says it will apply if an S corporation was a C corporation in the preceding 3 years.
Why would it say shall apply if, converted within the preceding 3 years, if the preceding 3 years isn't a qualification? You're saying that's surplusage, the if. You're just saying shall apply, period, if there's a bank involved. That's what you're saying. Shall apply if there's a bank.
We're saying that provision actually doesn't apply to a special banking rule because a bank could not become an S corporation in 1984 when that statute was drafted. So that when it says anything about what an electing sub-S corporation should do, it has nothing to do with 291A3 or a bank, because a bank could not be an electing sub-S corporation in 1984. So at that point, 291A3 continued to apply to banks, all banks, and it limited their deduction of this interest, which all other taxpayers can't deduct either. Then in 1986, Congress disallowed the deduction of that interest altogether. But
it didn't amend 1363.
It did not. That's correct.
So you've amended. Tax court has amended.
We do not believe that that's correct.
The tax
court relied on the change that came in 1996 when Congress permitted banks for the first time to elect sub-S status. And immediately it became apparent that when banks and non-banks were associated with one another, there was going to be a problem as to special banking rules. And so Congress granted the authority to the commissioner, to Treasury Department, to issue regulations. And the Treasury Department did issue a regulation, and the tax court relied on that regulation to say that before this Q sub bank could become disregarded for purposes of special banking rules, before its income.
Well, that's fine, but the question is, does that apply to these S corporations which hadn't converted within the preceding 3 years? That is, this technical amending statute doesn't seem to be addressed to this grandfathering provision. Right, there's nothing in there. I mean, you read 1363b4. It seems very, very clear. It seems very, very clear that 291 doesn't apply to the S corporations which were not recently converted from C. It seems very, very clear. And if Congress wanted to change that, it could change that. But it didn't. It didn't purport to change that.
One could view Congress as having thought that wasn't a problem when it said that by regulations, the commissioner, the Treasury Department, could sort out this problem of newly electing banks.
It's not that broad. Where does the technical amending statute, where does it authorize straightening out this problem, the grandfathering problem? I don't see that. Where is that?
doesn't say that, which might mean that it doesn't view that as a problem.
What is the language you're reading?
I'm sorry. The language we cited in our brief was to the legislative history of that provision.
No, well, that's a problem. What about the statute itself?
It would be 1361B3, I believe, and I'm not looking right at it. Except as provided in regulations prescribed by the Secretary for purposes of this title, a corporation which is a qualified subchapter S subsidiary shall not be treated as a separate corporation, and all assets, liabilities, and items of income, deduction, and credit of a qualified subchapter S subsidiary shall be treated as assets, liabilities, and such items as the case may be of the S corporation. That's the rule that said that a Q sub would be a disregarded entity. That's the way it was originally enacted that way. The technical correction added the language saying, except as provided in regulations. And it was designed to make sure that the special banking rules could be preserved.
No, that's fine. The special banking rules apply to Q subs, which are banks. That's fine. The question is whether it applies to the Q subs of subchapter S corporations which hadn't recently converted, right? There's plenty of work. There's plenty of work for the regulation to do to make sure that these Q subs are subject to banking rules. And so of course, Section 291 does the same thing. It applies the banking provisions of Section, I'm sorry, 1363A(b)(4) does the same thing. It applies the banking rules of 291 to S corporations. But only if it was a recent convert to S from C. That's the grandfather provision. And there isn't anything in 1361 to suggest that Congress was authorizing by regulation the IRS or the Treasury Department to repeal 1363b-4.
Your Honor, with all due respect, 1360B3-4 was not applying the banking rules to banks because banks were not subchapter S corporations and could not be in 1984.
Yeah, 291 has provisions for financial institutions, right?
Yes, sir.
They're being applied to recently converted S corporations.
Well, 291A3 is the only rule that applies specifically to banks, Your Honor. The other corporate preference items might apply to a bank. I'm not really clear about that. But the only one that is specifically a special banking rule is 291A3, and it wasn't affected by 1363B4 because a bank could not be an electing S corporation with a three-year C history in 1984. That didn't happen for another 12 years that a bank could be an electing S corporation with a three-year C history. That just didn't happen until 1996.
Yeah, look, a bank is a financial institution. 291 is about financial institutions.
Correct.
And there's nothing to suggest that, go ahead.
It's our position as a matter of logic. Obviously, this is not a model of clarity because of the anomaly that there was this shift between C and S, and these corporate preference items apparently stimulated a lot of corporations to elect S status. It didn't stimulate banks to do that because they couldn't. The logic of the situation is that Congress in 1982 enacted 291A3 to limit a deduction that banks had previously had, although other taxpayers did not. In 1986, it further limited that deduction. In 1996, it allowed banks to become sub-S corporations or Q-subs. The taxpayers are arguing that that change in structure that was given to banks in 1996 now lets Q-sub banks deduct all of the interest after 3 years of 3 years after they make this election. They now can deduct all of the interest expense that they incur with respect to tax-exempt investments.
No, I think your argument is fine as a matter of policy. The problem is 1363A(b)(4) is very clear, and if applied literally, of course, defeats your position. So you have to rely on 1361, and there's nothing in 1361 in the text that suggests that it was authorizing the Internal Revenue Service to carve banks out of 1363b-4. Congress could certainly have done that, but it doesn't read that way.
It's not our position that the Treasury Department could nullify 1363b-4. It's not.
Well, that's
not
what it's
claiming.
Done. Not nullify it completely, but nullify it as applied to banks.
We believe that.
I mean, the 3-year rule has been read out by the Treasury Department for banks. That's what the regulation does. The question whether that's authorized by 1361.
As the tax court found that it was, and as the regulation that was promulgated pursuant to that authorization makes clear that Section 291, well, special banking rules will continue to apply to Q-subs and S-corporation banks.
It's a carve-out only with respect to Q-subs.
Well, that's the only issue before the court in this case as to whether the Q-subs would be entitled to it.
So it nullifies the statute to that extent?
It's not our position that it nullifies 1363b-4. Well, our position is that 1363b-4 doesn't say that 291 only applies until a 3-year C corporation history is passed.
Well, of course that's what it says.
It's not the literal language, Your Honor, and that's our position.
Applies if there's a condition. If the if isn't satisfied, doesn't apply.
Again, the statute is not a model of clarity as to 291A3, which
clear.
Again,
B4 is perfectly clear. Perfectly clear.
Well, it was addressing a situation that only exists as of 12 years after it was drafted. So, to that extent, it's not clear.
When you have
clear.
A bad statute, Congress can correct it. Doesn't mean the Treasury can correct it unless it's authorized.
I see my time is up, and I would again suggest that we have to pay attention to the fact that this taxpayer is related to a bank, and it's special banking rules that prevail here, and the tax court correctly found that Section 291A3 does apply in the computation of the taxes at issue here.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Milton. Ms. Koenig, do you have anything? For how much time does she have? 5 minutes? Yeah.
Thank you, Your Honors. I just want to follow up with a few comments that were made by the judges in asking questions of the commissioner. First of all, I would agree with the position taken by Judge Posner that there is nothing in the regulation or the statute authorizing the regulation or the legislative history that directs the Internal Revenue Service or the Treasury to rewrite Section 1363b-4. If Congress had that in mind, what they would have done, as they have done with other anti-abuse sections in S corporations that apply C corporation rules, and a specific example of that would be Section 1374, they would have rewritten Section 1363b-4.
What about the language in the technical correction, the 1997 technical correction to 1361b-3a that says that Q-subs are not to be treated as separate from S corporations except as provided in regulations prescribed
right.
by the Secretary?
Right.
That's a grant of authority to carve out Q-subs,
well,
which is what they did.
Actually, it's a grant of authority to say that Q-subs are regarded entities for purposes of applying banking rules. And if you look at the regulation, it says both S corporation banks that are the parent bank and a Q-sub bank that is a bank are treated as separate entities for purposes of applying banking rules. And it really addresses a procedural concern that arose because it wasn't clear, since Q-subs were disregarded entities, if you applied the banking rules to the Q-sub and S-corp as a combined entity, you didn't apply the banking rules at all, or you just applied it to the banking entity. But it really didn't go to the substance of the banking rules, and Congress evidenced no concern about what the substantive banking rules were
In addition, if you look at the regulation, there's no talk about what the substantive banking rules are. It just says that bank rules get applied to the assets, liabilities, and tax items of the parent bank and the Q-sub bank separately, and you don't combine the entities.
So when you say substantive banking rules, you're treating the three-year provision as a substantive rule.
Absolutely.
Because it gives this privilege to the companies that hadn't converted recently.
Right, exactly. And if Congress wanted to change the rule, just like they changed the application of Section 585 to banks and said it wouldn't apply if you were an S corporation or a Q-sub bank, Congress would have done that. And that's really where the remedy of the commissioner lies in this case, not with the court, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's it, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Koenig and Ms. Melton.